FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. And well, you know, we've been talking with this company for quite a while. They are probably one of Egypt's greatest hopes. They're re-exploring ancient gold mines that were never fully developed. As you know, technology plays a role in this. Also, there wasn't seismology, there weren't magnetic studies, there wasn't anything. Hydrology, basically, if you saw it in the ground, you dug it up. That was the way it worked in ancient Egypt. The company, you've heard it before, a glad sponsor of FSN, Aton Resources, A-T-O-N Resources, Inc., and you can find them at atonresources.com. The symbol, they're traded on the Venture Exchange, the TSX Venture, is A-A-N, like Nancy. And our good friend Mark Campbell is back with us with some exciting news from this ancient land, which is really trying to become a modern country very quickly now. They get capitalism, and they know that the government cannot create wealth, that it has to come from the individual. Mark, it's great to have you back on. I know we're in a lot of different time zones here, but we appreciate it. So what's happening with this new mining law in Egypt?
Well, thanks, Kerry. It's great to be back, and glad the hurricane missed you. You're absolutely right. There's been a lot happening over the last several months, which is extremely encouraging, and I believe will be transformational, not just for us, but for the country and for the mining industry in general. As you know, going back to the beginning of 2018, the Minister of Petroleum, at the behest of the president, hired Wood Mackenzie, the consulting firm, to look at why there was no mining in Egypt, no mineral exploration investment, really, and what they could do to change that. You know, the president realized that mining was an untapped resource, that the mineral wealth of Egypt extended beyond just oil and natural gas, and that the hard rock wealth had not been developed. He obviously realized that this could be a huge win for the economy in terms of, you know, just wealth creation, job creation, training. And so he asked the Minister of Petroleum, who's a very smart guy, to look into this. And of course, being from the oil and gas business, wasn't particularly au fait with mining. And so he brought in Wood Mackenzie to advise and to give them a roadmap as to what they needed to do to actually transform the mineral exploration and then the development of a mining industry here in Egypt. And when you look at back, as you were saying, historically, Sukari, we have the Sukari mine, which began production in 2009. But before that, there hadn't been a gold mine built here in 100 years. And wow, it closed in 1956. There is no, unlike the oil and gas business, which has been here 120 odd years, and where we turn out petroleum engineers and geophysicists and geologists every day, twice on Sundays, there is nobody in Egypt that had, you know, any knowledge. Not like there's a guy or a couple of guys or whatever. I mean, you know, there's zero. And so they realized to develop this that they needed to get in people that could advise them, and they needed to, you know, attract foreign mining companies, exploration companies and mining companies into the country to develop it. And so they took those steps. The parliament passed some minor changes to the law, but the real nuts and bolts of it will fall into what they call the executive regulations. And the executive regulations are what which actually will dictate new terms and concessions that are going to be implemented. This has to be out legislatively by the 6th of November. So we're waiting and watching. But from what we understand, that they will be very favorable in terms of attracting investment. Two things that they have done. One is that they have scrapped the production sharing agreement, which is an oil and gas type framework. And we'll look at a tax, rent, and royalty structure, which is more common around the world for the mining and mineral exploration business. Most importantly, they understand that the mineral exploration business is unlike other businesses. It's certainly unlike oil and gas in the fact of the long lead time. You need to attract investment into exploration first. Because until you find a commercial deposit, you're not in any danger of building a mine. And that can take, between 10 to 15 years. Centamin began exploring at Sukari in 1994, and they poured their first gold in 2009. So, the lead times are long, and it has to be understood. Because, here, not having that industry, there's very much of a sort of factory mentality. So, raise money, build factory, produce baby food, make money off of baby food.
Right.
Not the same in the mineral industry. So those things bode very well for them, doing what is needed to attract the industry. It's pretty simple. I mean, you don't need to reinvent the wheel. I mean, you can look at where countries who are successful, like Canada and Australia and the United States and others, have been successful in attracting investment in the country. And as long as you balance that between what industry wants and what is beneficial to the government, and you have a balance there that works for both parties, then you will have a successful industry. And, I think that the government, as you've seen across the board, has a very pro-business and a pro-foreign investment strategy going forward. So this all falls within that. And I think that it not only bodes well for the country, but also the industry and, of course, ourselves.
Yeah, well, when you look at it, it's Egypt joining the modern world, if you will, becoming a part of what needs to be done here to raise the standard of living and really get people's lives, really improve their lives. And a lot of these things that, it's amazing to think it's an ancient country, but it needs to modernize before it can really get to the point, a modern country. It has so long to go. It's really good that finally there's enlightened leadership, though, that really gets this,
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
For millennia, ancient pharaohs prospered from unparalleled riches made possible by Egypt's resource-rich gold deposits. But despite this rich history, modern Egypt remains one of the most underdeveloped gold mining countries in the world. But that's all about to change. Aton Resources is leading the charge on the Egyptian mining revival. As the only public exploration company in Egypt, Aton Resources has first-mover advantage. Focused on their 100% owned Abu Marawat concession, Aton Resources is advancing several exploration targets, including the recent discovery of the legendary Lost Mountain of Gold at Rod Ruin. Learn more about this exciting drill program and other news at AtonResources.com. Aton trades on the TSXV under the ticker symbol AAN and on the OTC under the ticker ANLBF.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Yes, I think that's right. And, it's You know, you just take it, you know, it creates jobs, not just the jobs that are directly related to the mine, but those that are auxiliary to the mine and in the surrounding area. And so, and these are non-exportable jobs. You know, Egypt has a fast growing young population, and the creation of jobs is vital to its future. But, and not only that, but, you know, understanding that, you know, you have these resources in the ground that are, you know, untapped, and that, you know, they can provide wealth to the country just like oil and gas have, and not to develop them, you know, is pointless. So I think that, you know, they do get it. They have actually brought in people that understand. They have canvassed the industry to ask their views on how they see, the requirements that, you know, industry wants to see. And I think they are taking all of that into account. And I think, by November the 6th, when these executive regulations come out, I think that everybody will be pretty happy with them. They also, it appears, are scrapping the bid round, in other words, like the oil and gas industry. And this goes back to what it was beforehand. When it was known, when EMRA was known as the Egyptian Geological Survey and Mining Authority, and this goes back to it was under the Ministry of Industry. And in those days, you know, companies could come and look and pick up ground that they chose. It was only when the Ministry of Petroleum took charge that they made it much more oily in terms of how it works. And thus this idea of creating these areas that had some historical either workings or data that they would create these large exploration concessions that they expected people to come and bid on. And it never really ever worked like that. And if people like to be able to go and pick up the area that they want to and relinquish, right, you know, what they don't want, and to focus in on targets that they believe have merit. And, these huge areas, you know, don't forget, Perry, that, you know, 3 years ago, before we relinquished the Sotiri concession, you know, our land package was larger than Luxembourg. And for, you know, a junior mining company where there's very little data, is that, you know, to explore that is, you know, pretty nigh on impossible, because, I mean, you just can't cover all of it. And they don't allow AeroMag or any type of aerial surveys here, so we use satellite imagery instead. But nonetheless, you want to be able to cut your cloth accordingly in terms of what is manageable for you. And I think we've got that down. You know, we've got now Rod Ruin as our main target. We've got another, you know, 16, 17 valid exploration targets. And, you know, we have at Hamama a development project. So, we now have in our 596 square kilometer package something that is far more it's far more manageable, and something whereby it offers a lot, especially if, you know, moving forward, you know, there are people that might like to partner with us to develop our areas. So I think that it's a good deal. Getting rid of the bid round. The other thing is too is that the country realizes that, you know, the government realizes that you need the junior mining companies here. We are basically the venture capital arm of the mining industry. And so you know, they have to also understand, and I think they do, the nature of the financing world that we live in. You know, we're not ExxonMobil, we're not Rios. We don't have, you know, huge amounts of cash to throw at things. And so we have to, you know, we have to do this in a very, we have to do this in a very clear manner. We have to, you know, focus on what we're doing. We have to work to develop that. You know, we have to go back and raise some more money. Hopefully we have good results. We come back and raise more money. And and so we have to work in a very scientific fashion and very focused to try and do that as fast as possible, for our investors who, you know, obviously want us to try and, you know, develop a commercial, to discover a commercial deposit in as fast a time frame as is humanly possible. So I think that, you know, by getting rid of bid rounds, by going and scrapping the PSA and the cost recovery and the 50-50 joint venture is important. That 50-50 joint venture has always been a killer because you could never partner up with somebody because you already had a 50% partner. The cost recovery is very opaque and, you know, it doesn't lend itself to our industry. I'm not even sure it lends itself very well to the oil and gas industry, but at least it fits its profile better than it does with us. So
they could make a return. The oil and gas industry could make a return, but the problem, as I understand it, for miners such as Aeton, is that it was impossible to make a return, and it just you shouldered all the risk and basically wound up with no reward.
Yeah, and that's right. And, you know, and the thing is that, you know, as we've talked about before, the economics of oil and gas and mining are completely different, but like trying to compare American Airlines with Uber, just because they move people around. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that, you know, the in oil and gas, you know, your costs are all up front in the exploration and completion of the well. Once you've decided that you have a commercially viable reservoir, you stick a production wellhead on, hook it up, and that's it. A guy comes out once a month, reads the gauges, and that's your operating cost, effectively.
Correct.
So, and you're producing oil and gas every second of every day. So, you know, the business is just, you know, completely, completely different and are not comparable at all. And, you know, it's all well and good and saying, well, you know, this is the best for the country. Well, not the best for the country, because if the country, if nobody comes, if nobody explores, if no mines are ever built, then you got nothing. So by having tax, rent, and royalty, you know, the government makes money, the company can make money, and you're off to the races in creating an industry.
And you
know, and you want to develop a domestic industry, but you can only do that by training people and giving them the experience. You know, a guy graduates from mining engineering here, or hard rock geology, where does he go? I mean, there are no jobs for it. For us, we have Egyptian geologists, but, you know, we don't need any more than, you know, the ones we have. So you need more people here so people can come out and get that experience that is required for them, you know, to be able someday in the future to build an industry. And that only comes from creating an industry.
Of course, and you've done an amazing job here at getting this through. You know, your work, you've really stuck with it. You are the definition of persistence, Mark. And once you actually get going here, I have no doubt that you're going to succeed at
Either persistence or masochism, but, you know,
a little bit of both. You know, persistence is moving forward, moving ahead with your project, with your goal, towards your goal, with no guarantee of success. And at times it looks like the entire world is against you, and yet you carry on. My old partner was a military guy, and they had a saying there, CM, Charlie Mike, continue mission. And that's what you've been doing here for years, Mark, and it's finally come to fruition. So hopefully then...
Well, it is. You have to, you know, it's not, you know, as everybody knows, it's a tough business. And you have to, you know, at times it's, you find it challenging to remain positive, but you just have to keep putting one foot in front of the other and, you know, focus on what it is that you need to get done in the long run. And that would be true whether, you know, if we are in this business in Egypt or you're in this business in Timbuktu. I mean, each place that, you know, you work has its own challenges, and you just have to, you know, understand what those challenges are and try and move forward, in the face of them.
Absolutely. And you are the very definition of persistence. So you need to go take a look at this company. We've been following it for years already. And you just go over to Aton, A-T-O-N, resources.com. All the information is there. The communication from the website to investors, prospective investors, is among the best I've seen of any site out there, Mark. The ticker symbol, you find it on the TSX Venture, A-A-N like Nancy. That's Apple, Apple, Nancy. And check out the company. It could be a real bargain, especially when the law starts to come together and things start to move ahead. Mark, we wish you the best of luck as always. Thanks so much for taking the time out to talk with us.
Well, thank you, Kerry. I always enjoy it.
Likewise. And questions or comments for Mark or myself? What do you think is going to happen with gold? Where's the price heading? Right now, we're in that heading to that mid 1500 range, which is crucial. Others, some have said $1,800 by the end of the year. Charles Nenner has said $2,500. Just imagine what these juniors are going to look like with an $1,800 or $2,500 an ounce gold price. Could be amazing. Mark, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks, Kerry.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.